الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وحبيبنا وشفيعنا ومطاعنا محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فقد قال الله تعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم فلا تعلم نفس ما أخفي لهم من قرة أعين جزاء بما كانوا يعملون صدق الله العظيم وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم اطلبوا الجنة جهدكم واهربوا من النار جهدكم فإن الجنة لا ينام طالبها وإن النار لا ينام هاربها وإن الآخرة اليوم محفوفة بالمكاره وإن الدنيا اليوم محفوفة باللذات والشهوات فلا تلهينكم عن الآخرة أو كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. Respected elders, brothers and sisters in Islam, if you have to categorize and analyze the effort of Anbiya alayhimu salatu wassalam, ulama ikram tell us that basically we can categorize it in three categories. The effort which Anbiya alayhimu salatu wassalam came to make primarily, first and foremost, was they would instill the tawheed and the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the hearts of humanity. The second aspect of the effort of Anbiya alayhimu salatu wassalam was what we call risalat. In other words, as we hear in the second part of our first point of tabligh, the first quality of tabligh, that the road to success in this world and hereafter is the way of life of Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Any other way of life, any other modus operandi, any other formula will lead to destruction and failure besides the way of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this is the second aspect of the effort of Anbiya alayhimu salatu wa salam, what we call risalat. And the third aspect, also very fundamental and important, is instilling the conviction of akhirat. By akhirat, or the life hereafter, throughout the ages, there existed that large section of humanity who could not bring their minds around this concept or reality that once this human being is buried in the ground and his body is eaten up by insects, and then those insects are eaten up by other insects, and then with the passage of time, as is the nature of the earth turns over. And in this process, with this passage of centuries, what at one time was a wholesome body becomes interspersed into the atmosphere, into tiny, tiny millions and billions of fragments. That there is a reality that a day is coming when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will resurrect this human being and bring him alive again, as he was originally. This is something that, as I mentioned, many sections of humanity throughout the ages, they were not prepared to accept this. They could not understand this. They couldn't envisage this. And Quran encapsulates their reaction to this. أَإِذَا كُنَّا عِظَامًا نَخِرًا قَالُوا تِلْكَ إِذَنْ كَرَّةٌ خَاسِرًا فَإِنَّمَا هِيَ زَجْرَةٌ وَاحِدًا هَيْهَاتَ هَيْهَاتَ لِمَا تُوعَدُونَ إن هي إلا حياتنا الدنيا نموت ونحيا وما نحن بمبعوثين. Heihata, heihata, they said to the Anbiya, get away, get away. It's only this life. Aida, what are you saying? Aida kunna idaman nakhira? When our bones are completely destroyed, Allah is going to resurrect us and bring us alive again. On the other hand, Anbiya alayhi salatu was salam, this was one of the fundamental efforts that they made. Look at the, unfortunately we don't have that munasabat, that link, that attachment with Quran. Quran is a living miracle. Quran, Allahu Akbar, this is that kalam that shook the hearts even filled with darkness of zulmat of kufr. Look at the challenge, look at the taqat, look at the kibr, look at the authority that is contained in this expression when Allah says, لا أقسم بيوم القيامة ولا أقسم بالنفس اللوامة أيحسب الإنسان أن لن نجمع عظاما بلا قادرين على أن نسوي بنانا. We can pick up a translation, read a commentary, but really it will not give us that chaska, that maza, that ecstasy that the hearts of the Arabs would experience when they heard Quran like this. This is like a siren going off. There's such authority in this. La uqsimu bi yawmil qiyamah. Allah says, I take an oath on the day of judgment. Wa la uqsimu bin nafsil lawwam. Ayahsabul insan. What do you think? Allan najma'a idhama? That Allah who created you from a drop of sperm, وَاللَّهُ خَلَقَكُمْ مِنْ تُرَابٍ, that Allah who created you from dust, that Allah whose amr, whose affair is kun fayakun, that Allah who from nothingness gave you existence, is not going to resurrect you, will not be able to bring you back to your original form. أَيَحْسَبُ الْإِنسَانِ, what do you think? أَلَّا النَّجْمَعَ عِظَامًا. بَلَا, what is this bala? تم اپنے رب کو کیا سمجھتے ہو? What do you think of your Allah? قادرین, قادرین, have no doubt Allah has this قدرت. على ان نسوی بنانا. Not only will Allah resurrect you, it is going to be your fingerprint also, the same fingerprint. Very often I mention this, the scientific understanding or perception of the unique nature of the fingerprints of human beings. This is very recent medically. One or two centuries back. Generally the fingertip of a person has 100 ridges to find two human beings. Where two of the ridges are the same out of the 100, you have to examine 4 people. To find two human beings where 3 out of the 100 are the same, you have to examine 16 people. And to find two human beings where all 100 ridges are the same on the fingertip, you have to examine every human being that will live on the surface of this earth for the next 4 billion years. So the uniqueness of the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, no two eyes are the same, no two voices are the same, no two accents are the same. The space between the lips of each person, no two are the same. The mouth is not the same. The mannerism is not the same. The way the heart, the beats of no two individuals is the same. And likewise, the fingertip of no two human beings is the same. So Allah says, قَادِرِينَ عَلَىٰ أَن نُسَوِّيَ بَنَانَا. It will be you, the same fingertip, the same pattern, exactly as you were. كَمَا بَدَأْنَا أَوَّلَ خَلْقٍ نُعِيدُ وَعَدًا عَلَيْنَا إِنَّا كُنَّا فَاعِلِينَ. This is an oath, this is a promise. بَلَا وَرَبِّي لَتُبْعَثٌ. By the qasam and oath of your Rabb, you will be resurrected. So this was one of the fundamental efforts of Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam to instill this reality in the hearts of humanity. Why? Because what is behind this? Why were they so averse to such a belief? Why did they run away from such a belief? Because then the license is given. If there is no resurrection, if there is no accountability in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then do whatever you want. Live your life according to your passions and your desires. There's no answering. In this world we see on a daily basis, whatever problem you are in, you can get out of it. Justice in the world today is what? The strong get justice and the weak are oppressed. So this is why they were averse to accepting this belief. That with this belief that Allah is going to resurrect us, that a day is coming that we will have to stand in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and that true justice will be dispensed. وَنَضَعُ الْمَوَازِينَ الْقِسْطَ لِيَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ فَلَا تُظْلَمُ نَفْسٌ شَيْئًا وَإِنْ كَانَ مِثْقَالَ حَبَّةٍ مِّنْ خَرْدَلْ أَتَيْنَا بِهَا وَكَفَى بِنَا حَاسِبِينَ. Allah will come. Uzlifatil الْجَنَّةُ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. Jannat will be brought near. Burrizatil الْجَحِيمُ لِلْغَاوِينَ. Jahannam will be brought near. وَجَاءَ رَبُّكَ وَالْمَلَكُ صَفًّا صَفًّا. Allah will be present. Malaika will be in sufuf. The scales of justice will be set up. And what does Allah say? فَلَا تُذْلَمُ نَفْسٌ شَيْئًا. There will be no zulm on oppression on anyone. وَإِنْ كَانَ مِثْقَالَ حَبَّةٍ مِّنْ خَرْدَلْ أَتَيْنَا بِهَا. That action which you did, even if it was smaller than a grain of mustard seed, Allah says, we will bring that action in front of you. وَكَفَى بِنَا حَاسِبِينَ. And we are sufficient as those who will take hisab and reckoning. With this belief comes the ihsas, the perception of accountability. Ihsas of jaza and saza. And this was one of the fundamental efforts of Anbiya alayhimu salatu was salam throughout the ages. This zehen sazi, this conditioning of the minds of people, instilling this conviction in the hearts that akhirat is a reality, accountability is a reality, jannat and jahannam are a reality. The reason I have mentioned this introduction, my respected brothers and sisters, to continue that hadith which we began last week in Jum'ah, for those who will recollect, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, in this month of Ramadan, increase in four things. Unfortunately, when we hear such a hadith, we tend to leave it at the surface. Doesn't mean increase the zikr of this. It doesn't mean just increase thinking about it. But it is a lifelong effort. The four things that Nabiya Paak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned don't only pertain to Ramadan. They are a lifelong effort. He said, increase four things. Two things you will please Allah. تُرْدُونَ بِهِمَا رَبَّكُمْ شَهَادَةَ أَلَّا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ وَتَسْتَغْفِرُونَهُ. The shahadat of La ilaha illallah, which we discussed in detail, وَتَسْتَغْفِرُونَهُ, and seeking forgiveness, the maghfirat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And what is even more ajeeb, the second thing which he mentioned has a direct link to the next two, which makes us realize how important it is. And then he accentuated this, how? Where Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, khaslatan la ghina bikum anhuma, O my ummah, the second two you can't do without. La ghina bikum anhuma, there's no getting away. You can't do without it. What is it? He said, تَسْأَلُونَ اللَّهَ الْجَنَّةِ وَتَعَوَّذُونَ بِهِ مِنَ النَّارِ. He said, beg Allah for Jannat. Beg Allah for Jannat and seek Allah's protection from Jahannam. Hasan Basri rahimahullah, that great sage of Islam, he says, when a man says, Inni uhibbu al-jannah, I love Jannat, I want Jannat, Ya Allah, give me Jannat, but his actions, his life is not the life of one who is seeking Jannat. Hasan Basri says he is a liar. The one who says, Inni akhafu an-nar, I fear Jahannam, but his actions and his life is the life of a Jahannami. Allah protect us. Sinning, transgressing the limits or the boundaries of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and then saying, I fear Jahannam. Hasan Basri rahimahullah says such a person is a liar. 1,000 verses, more than 1,000 verses in the Quran, such explicit descriptions Allah gives of Jannat and Jahannam. If you look at the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, how many ahadith? Allah's Habib sallallahu alaihi wasallam, on Mi'raj, he physically Allah showed him the various types of azab that were linked to different types of sins. And yet every one of those sins on a daily basis is happening in the ummah. whether it is backbiting, whether it is emasculating the reputation of people, whether it is riba, whether it is zina, whether it is sharab, every sin, the azab for which Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was shown clearly, and which he came back with complete amanatdari and described today is happening on a masque. He was shown Jannat, such beautiful descriptions of Jannat. What is behind this? How is it that still the masiyat goes on? Still our lives are being lived as if these things are not realities. My respected brothers and sisters, it is one is the dua for it, the other is the effort. Allahu Akbar. Nu'man bin Bashir radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was rahmatul lil alameen, he was a mercy to humanity. Soft natured. A little young girl could walk up to him and hold his hand and lead him in whatever direction she wanted. If someone was speaking to him, he would never turn away. He would never turn away until that person finished speaking. When anyone approached him, he would turn his whole being towards that person. Such humility. And yet when it came to this issue of Jannat and Jahannam, look at the passion. Nu'man bin Bashir radiallahu ta'ala who says, Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was giving khutbah in Masjid al-Nabawi. When it came to this, such was the khawf, such was the worry, such was the concern. He says, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in his khutbah, أَنذَرْتُكُمُ النَّارِ أَنذَرْتُكُمُ النَّارِ أَنذَرْتُكُمُ النَّارِ O my ummat, I am warning you about Jahannam. I am warning you about Jahannam. I am warning you about Jahannam. He says, لَوْ أَنَّ رَجُلًا قَامَ فِي السُّوكِ لَسَّمِعَهُ مِنْ مَقَامِ هَذَا Nu'man bin Bashir says, Allah's Qasam, Allah's Habib became so passionate, started speaking so loudly that if someone was standing in the bazaar of Medina, he could have heard what Rasulullah was saying in the masjid. فَسَقَتَ خَمِيسَةٌ كَانَ عَلَىٰ عَاتِقِهِ عِنْدَ رِجْلَيْهِ And he became, in his bodily movements and gestures, so passionate in that khutbah. He said that that cloak that he had over his shoulder fell to his knees, fell to the ground. The whole body of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was shaking. Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhuma says, once Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was giving khutbah, لا تنسوا العظيمتين, لا تنسوا العظيمتين. Generally we'd find in hadith, whatever Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was telling, some sahabi, Muaz bin Jawal radiallahu anhu, Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, Ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Various sahaba would say, I heard this, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said this, but this is khutbah. In other words, from the mimbar of Masjid al-Nabawi, the worry was for the general populace of the ummah. La tansawul azimatain, la tansawul azimatain. He said, oh my ummah, do not forget the two great things. Never forget the two great things. This is the cry of our elders. They say, populate our homes with the zikr of Jannat and Jahannam. Populate our masjid with the zikr of Jannat and Jahannam. Populate our marketplace with the zikr of Jannat and Jahannam. 1,000 verses in the Quran, Jannat, Jahannam, Jannat, Jahannam, Allah is there. No time to go into the details. When Allah describes Jahannam, Allahu Akbar. Quran is la rayba fi. Quran is waman astaqu min Allahi qila. Quran is waman astaqu min Allahi haditha. Quran is watammat kalimatu rabbika sidqan wa adala. إن الذين كفروا بآياتنا سوف نسليهم نارا كلما نضجت جلودهم بدلناهم جلودا غيرها ليذوقوا العذاب إنها لظى نزاعة للشوى تدعو من أدبر وتولى في سموم وحميم وظل من يحموم لا بارد ولا كريم إنها ترمي بالشرر كالقصر كأنه جمالة صفر. It is a blazing fire. Flames like mountains will be thrown out. It will scorch the skin of man. Those who belie our signs, Allah says, soon they will enter into a blazing fire. Each time one layer of skin gets burned, we will replace it with another layer of skin so that they can taste the azab. Quran is a living miracle. This concept or idea that pain, the senses for pain is contained in the skin, this is recent. Take the skin of a person out, the largest organ in the body, he will not feel any pain because the senses to perceive pain are contained in the skin. So Allah says, each time one layer of skin is burnt, we will replace it with another layer of skin. لِيَذُوقُ الْعَذَابِ, so that he can continue feeling the azab of Jahannam. Allah protect us. It's a different matter. What is the width of our skin? It is said the width of the skin of a Jahannami will be 85 feet long. On the other hand, Allah gives such descriptions of Jannah. فَلَا تَعْلَمُ نَفْسٌ One verse is sufficient. فَلَا تَعْلَمُ نَفْسٌ مَا أُخْفِيَ لَهُمْ مِنْ قُرَّةِ أَعْيُنْ جَزَاءً بِمَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ Allahu Akbar. What does Allah say? He says, no one knows. It's not possible for you to know. Such a Jannat we have created. No one knows what we have kept for you, things that will cool your eyes. One riwayat I read the other day, a person will look at the tree of Jannat. When he will shake the branch of the tree, every lahwiyat, every ecstasy, everything that he enjoyed in the world, he will just wish, and from each swaying of the branch of the tree, whatever he wishes for will be given to him. Such a Jannat Allah has made. لَهُمْ مَا يَشَاءُونَ فِيهَا وَلَدَيْنَا مَزِيدٌ Allah says for you in Jannat is whatever you desire, whatever you desire. And when your desires have come to an end, وَلَدَيْنَا مَزِيدٌ From our side we will give you even more. Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhu, coming back to that hadith. He says, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was giving khutbah. لَا تَنْسَوُ الْعَظِيمَتَيْنِ He said, my ummah, never forget the two great things. Never forget the two great things, al-jannat wal-nar, jannat and jahannam. One riwayat he said, فَإِنَّهُمَا شَافِعَتَانَ مُشَفَّعَتَانَ Because jannat and jahannam will intercede on your behalf, and Allah will accept the intercession. That same hadith, he is giving khutbah. He says this, and then Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhu said, ثُمَّ بَكَى حَتَّى جَرَى أَوْ قَالَ بَلَّ دُمُوعُهُ جَانِبَي لِحْيَتِهِ صلى الله عليه وسلم He says, in khutbah, the first hadith, أَنذَرْتُكُمُ النَّارِ He says, so loudly, that the person in the bazaar of Medina could hear. And the cloak of Rasulullah ﷺ falls to the ground. Here he's speaking of Jannat and Jahannam. Sahaba say he starts crying and crying and crying till the entire Mubarak beard of Rasulullah ﷺ is dripping with tears. To instill the reality of this in the hearts. Such an effort Allah's Habib ﷺ made on Sahaba. That Ali radiallahu ta'ala used to say, لَوْ كُشِفَ الْغِطَى مَزْدَدْتُ إِيمَانًا If the veil between us and Akhirat had to be removed, we saw Jannat and Jahannam, this wouldn't increase our iman. Such an effort that they made. Zayd bin Harithah radiallahu ta'ala who comes to Sa'd bin Rabi' on the Maidan of Uhud. Allah's Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent me to look for you. Sent me to convey his salams to you. And my Nabi sent me to ask you, وَبِهِ رَمَقْ Sa'd bin Rabi is in the last stage of life, last breath. Zayd bin Harithah radiallahu ta'ala who says to him, Allah's Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, I must ask you, in what condition do you find yourself? In what condition do you find yourself? Allahu Akbar, what does Sa'd bin Rabi radiallahu ta'ala who say? Say to my Nabi, Inni ajiduni ajidu rihal jannah. Say to my Nabi that I find myself in such a condition that I can smell the fragrance of Jannat on the field of Uhud. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Uhud is at the door of Jannat. Inni ajiduni ajidu rihal jannah. Anas bin Nadr radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, on the Maidan of Uhud, wahan lirihil jannah, wahan lirihil jannah, wahan lirihil jannah, inni ajidu rihaha min duni Uhud. He says, how beautiful, how lovely is the fragrance of Jannah, how lovely is the fragrance of Jannah. I can smell Jannah coming from Uhud. Umayyad bin Humam radiyallahu ta'ala anhu in Badr, when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Ta'arradu ila jannatin arduha as-samawati wal-ard," hasten towards Jannat, the breadth of which is equal to the distance between the heavens and the earth. Bakhin, 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 bakhin. How beautiful, how beautiful. Some dates in the hand. Is all that exists, is the only barrier between me and Jannat, that I must give my life in the path of Allah, is eating these dates. He says, لَإِنْ حَيِّتُ إِلَىٰ أَنْ أَكُلَ تَمَرَاتِ هَذَا لَكَانَ حَيَاةً طَوِيلًا. If I remain alive to eat these dates, that is too long. Jannat is waiting for me. Throws it away and rushes forward. What is on his lips? رَقْضًا إِلَى اللَّهِ بِغَيْرِ زَادِي إِلَّا التُّقَى وَعَمَلِ الْمَعَادِي وَالصَّبْرِ فِي اللَّهِ عَلَى الْجِهَادِ وَكُلُّ زَادٍ عُرْضَةٌ نَفَادِي غَيْرَ التُّقَى وَالْبِرِّ وَالرَّشَادِ. He says, I am running to Allah. I have nothing of the world with me. My pockets are empty. What do I have with me? Taqwa. What do I have with me? The a'mal of piety. What do I have with me? Perseverance and making sabr while striving in the path of Allah. And then sahaba dawat was in their blood. Till the last moment they gave dawat, he addresses the entire ummah. Wa kullu zadin urdatun nafad. Whatever you will amass, whatever you will amass of the gold and silver and the glitter and glamour of this dunya, urdatun nafad, will be destroyed. What will remain? Ghayra tuqa wal birri wal rashadi. Taqwa, piety, closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the amal of akhirat. This is your tosha. This is your provision for the road towards akhirat. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam exhorted his ummah, particularly in the month of Ramadan, beg Allah for Jannat, seek Allah's protection from Jahannam. And this is such a powerful amal, such a powerful amal, such a powerful amal. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, and this I will terminate, لو أن رجلا سأل الجنة ثلاث مرات. When a person makes dua to Allah, ask Allah for Jannat three times. When a person asks Allah for Jannah three times, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "Qalatil Jannah, Allahumma adkhilhul Jannah." He says, "You ask for Jannah three times. You made du'a. Jannah makes du'a to Allah. Ya Allah, enter this person into me." وَمَنْ إِسْتَجَارَ مِنَ النَّارِ ثَلَاثَ مَرَّاتٍ. That person who seeks protection from Jahannam three times. قَالَتِ النَّارِ. Jahannam makes dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, اللَّهُمَّ أَجِرْهُ مِنِّي. Oh Allah, protect him from me. One riwayat it comes, Jannat takes the name of that person seven times if a person asks. Seven times if a person asks Allah for Jannat, then Jannat says to Allah, Abduka Fulan, Ya Allah, your slave. This is his name. He is asking you for Jannat. Grant him Jannat. Seven times he seeks protection from Jahannam. Jahannam takes the name of the person, Abduka Fulan, so and so person. Ya Allah, protect him from Jahannam. But as we mentioned, my respected brothers and sisters, with the dua, there has to be dawa, there has to be that effort. There has to be that zehen sazi, there has to be that conditioning of the mind. Bring the muzakara of Jannat and Jahannam on our lips. Bring it into our homes, bring it before our families. Bring it before humanity, bring it before the ummah. Not only to save ourselves, the dard of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was to save every person from Jahannam. So we have to emulate and bring that within ourselves. This month of Ramadan is a training ground for us for the next 11 months in the year. It's a training ground for us for our entire life. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq. Alhamdulillah.